20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you joining me today. In just a moment, we're going to be putting together a blueprint for the Packers to get to and hopefully win a Super Bowl. They're back on track. They've won three in a row, a huge week where in the same week they beat the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. That Lions game on the road, obviously, we're still on a high from. It was absolutely epic, but they've got work to do. The job's not done. They've got a really tough schedule coming up. They need to find a way to win the division. We'll get into that as well. And then, you know, how can they ultimately make that run in the postseason to get to where they want to go and ultimately win and bring that Lombardi trophy back to Green Bay? We'll get into all of that. Before we get there, I want to shout out Scott Nyer. Scott, thank you so much for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. If you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Aaron Nagler episode every week, some extra Ross Uglum content here and there, members only Q&A. It's a great way to support the channel. Check out those memberships if you have not done so already. We did have a transaction that took place on Friday. Lucas Aversick, your favorite substitute teacher, is back on the roster. He's back on the practice squad. Not back on the 53, but back on the practice squad. I was slightly surprised that they brought him back. Not super surprised. It just felt like McManus is healthy now. Do you need that? But it's a practice squad spot. You get 16 of them, 17 if you include the International Pathway Program player. So they have the spot. He was clutch for them in those first couple games before the very windy conditions in New York. I certainly understand why you'd want to bring him back and give, you know, you're kicking some depth going into the postseason or going through the rest of the season, especially if McManus were to have an injury flare up or something like that. So I think overall this makes sense, but he is back on the Packers practice squad. Meanwhile, the big news from Friday, the Chicago Bears go into Philly on Black Friday and beat the Philadelphia Eagles for their fifth win in a row and nine of their last 10 games. Nine of their last 10. This fraudulent Chicago Bears thing, it's cute to talk about. It's fun to talk about. Their plus minus is finally now in the plus for the season. They finally have a net positive score differential for the season. I don't think they're quite as good as their record would maybe indicate. They're a good football team. They're a very good football team. I think Caleb Williams and some of his inaccuracy issues, kind of the only thing holding that team back right now. Their defense is playing really well. That run game looked phenomenal against Philly. But you see these ebbs and flows from Caleb Williams, stretches a game where he's not super accurate. This is going to be a big time fight in these next 3 weeks, two games against Chicago. Chicago is a pain to play right now. Like I said, 9 of 10. Go back to that week one, too. Thank you, Minnesota, I guess, because without a bizarro J.J. McCarthy fourth quarter comeback, Chicago has another win and is in complete control of the division right now. So I don't think that this team is like a legitimate Super Bowl contender or, you know, high-end playoff contender right now. But I don't think if you're any team right now, you're pleased to be playing the Chicago Bears. And if nothing else, I think they're ahead of schedule. And what Ben Johnson is doing to set a foundation with this team, it's on my radar for potentially being a problem for the future. And as soon as this week, this is going to be a tough game. Now, the Green Bay Packers are 6.5-point favorites as of recording this against the Chicago Bears next week. That seems high to me. And I get maybe Chicago's not quite as good as what their record would indicate and things like that. And Green Bay's coming off a big win against Detroit. They've won three in a row. Things are starting to gel for them, but 6.5 still feels rather aggressive. I wonder if that line comes down a little bit through the course of the week, but this is going to be a big time showdown in the NFC North. And again, the NFC North now feels like it's on the line in these next 3 weeks with two of them against the Chicago Bears. With the Chicago win, Green Bay is still at a 94% chance to make the playoffs per the New York Times playoff simulator. They are still a 65% chance to win the division. And they have an 8% chance now to get the one seed. The interesting thing about that Eagles loss is it helps them for an opportunity to get a number one or number two seed, but it does take away some opportunity and options where maybe they could have a couple slip ups and still win the division. That's far less likely now that Chicago beat Philadelphia on Black Friday. Again, still a 94% chance to make the playoffs, 65% to win the division, and an 8% chance to get the number one seed overall. This week, a lot on the line. If Green Bay beats Chicago, they go to a 97% chance to make the playoffs. If they lose, they're still at an 82. It's a 15% difference, but you're still in a very good spot overall. 97% to 82. The big one, though, to win the division, if they win against Chicago, they go up to a 76% chance to win the division. If they lose to Chicago, they go down to a 30% chance to win the division, a 46% swing. That is massive. So beat Chicago, you are well within the driver's seat of winning the division from here on out. Lose, and you have a major uphill battle from here on out. That is what really is at stake this week at home against Chicago. Also, if they were to beat Chicago, they would go up to a 10% chance to get the number one seed. If they would lose, they would go down to a 1% chance to get the number one seed. Meanwhile, with the win for Chicago and the loss for Philly, the Super Bowl odds changed a little bit again as well. Rams still well ahead of everybody else at number one at plus 340. The Seahawks and Colts are now tied for second. Seahawks plus 950, Colts plus 950. And then there are three teams tied for fourth at plus 1,000, the Patriots, the Packers, and the Broncos. So Rams, Seahawks, Colts, and then a tied fourth place between three teams. Again, the Patriots, Packers, and Broncos. That's where things are at. It really is kind of like the Rams. And then there's a bunch of teams that are right around plus 1,000, all kind of within a few points of each other. So everyone's right now favoring the Rams, I think rightfully so. And then you get this mess of teams where everyone's very similarly graded, rated, however you want to call it, at least giving them Super Bowl odds from here until the rest of the season. Obviously, that can change at any given moment. As mentioned, Packers open as 6.5-point favorites against the Chicago Bears. And as mentioned, this is going to be a massive, massive matchup of huge importance in the NFC North and in the NFL playoff race overall. All right, let's get to our main topic for today. That is our Super Bowl blueprint. I've got 10 things. 10 things that can take Green Bay from a three-game win streak and trending in the right direction to a true legitimate pathway to being a Super Bowl contender. We've done a couple things like this prior to the season. What would need to happen for Green Bay to win the Super Bowl? We went over, maybe a month or 2 months ago, you know, what Green Bay needs to do better. Some of these things are going to come up again. Like, that's just inherent here. But I think we're shrinking it down. We're seeing a lot of proof of what this team can be. I think Detroit really proved that in Detroit. But I still think there's enough to clean up where if they can do it, they're going to be in a great position moving forward. Number one thing on my list, if they want to win a Super Bowl, we talked about it prior to the Lions game. You got to win the NFC North. And I think it would be ideal if you secured at least the number two seed. I see a lot of people like, you know, just win the North and... There's a huge difference between the four, the three, and the two. Think of it this way. I know we all want to be the one seed and get that bye and have home field throughout. That's important too. But as the number two seed, if you can get the number two rather than the number three or four, you have the number, first of all, you get the easier opponent, at least in theory, right? The number seven seed. So you've got the seven seed at home. But then remember, you're guaranteed another home game after that if you win your first game. So whether it's the three, the four, the five, or the six, you're going to have that opportunity to face a team at home for the second consecutive week. And you could end up in a scenario where the number one seed goes down in the divisional round, and now you've got a third consecutive home game. So don't sleep on the number two seed either. Even if you can't get the one, that number two seed is still very, very important to try to get yourself maybe two home games before, even if things went chalk, you had to go on the road for that third and final game. So still a lot on the line, but at minimum, I do think Green Bay needs to win the North. I don't think you're going three games on the road in this NFC and coming out the other side of it. I just don't. I feel that way strongly. I felt it last week before this Lions game, but now you've got to take care of Chicago and you've got to find a way to win the North, because I do believe going on the road for three consecutive games against this NFC gauntlet is not going to be conducive for anybody. I don't care what team it is. And so Green Bay's got to find a way to win the NFC North. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 13 as Green Bay tries to sweep the series with Detroit. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, but I'm going to take both Christian Watson and Amon-Ra St. Brown to have big games in this one. Elsewhere in week 13, I'm going with a huge bounce back from Josh Allen, a strong performance from Justin Herbert, and a breakout from Cortland Sutton. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less than at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you can cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Number two is going to surprise absolutely nobody based on what I've been talking about for basically forever now, or at least probably since about week three. This offensive line still needs to find a way to take another step. There's good news here, though. I do believe that there have been signs over the last couple weeks. Not consistent enough, not good enough, but some positive signs in the right direction. Sign number one, Zach Tom playing some really, really good football. I don't know if that back injury is entirely behind him. It probably isn't, but it seems to be where he's at a better level of comfort and playing at a higher level than he was when it was really bothering him earlier in the season. That's a really good sign. Aaron Banks is playing much better football. He has really started to solidify himself into that left guard spot, really start, I don't want to say like making a name for himself or anything like that, but just playing good, solid, sound football. Is it perfect? No. Is it worth the $20 million? Whatever. Probably not. I don't even have to say probably. It's not. But it's good, sound, solid left guard football. And that's a big step in the right direction for this team as well. That's number two. And then as far as the rest of the offensive line, I like the change to Belton. It is still a massive work in progress. But I do feel like the duo of Sean Ryan and Anthony Belton adds some bulk in the center of that offensive line. And then Rashid Walker, that's where I need to see some improvement of as well. I've seen some really good Rashid Walker over the years. I need to see that version of Rashid. And then if Belton and Ryan can just take a solid step in the right direction, doesn't have to be massive, but just a good step in the right direction. I think they're closer. It still feels a little bit too far away, but I do think they're getting closer and inching closer week to week. And if they can gel together and at least have this group of five, no more rotations, no more in and out, just hopefully no more injuries, just those five going out week in and week out and gelling together. Hopefully by the time you get to the playoffs, they're going to be playing a good brand of football. And if things go according to plan, that offensive line at Lambeau in winter, you know, with Belton and Ryan and Banks on the interior, maybe that starts gaining a little bit more traction. But in general, the offensive line play needs to still be improved. We saw the numbers again this past week when Jordan is protected, he is undeniable. You can't stop him right now. And we know what Josh Jacobs can do when he gets any sliver of rushing room whatsoever. So offensive line, that to me is still the 1A Achilles heel. It can be better. I think there's been signs of it, but they still have to get, I would say, one level more from where they're at right now if they want to make a true, legitimate run at this thing. Number three, learn your lessons that have been taught to you from weeks 1 through 13 this year, both on the good and the bad side. What went right? Well, when you played Detroit, you played fast, you played intense. The sidelines were going crazy. You played with a crap ton of energy. You wanted those games really bad. You've got to find a way to do that in every single game. I thought for the most part, especially again in those like Lions games, and especially in this last game, we saw a different level of aggression from Matt LaFleur. Want to continue to see that and learn from your mistakes in the games where you lost. I know that they were more conservative against Minnesota. It worked out for them. I applauded them for that. But I don't think that you can live in that realm. I don't think you can be a grinded out team. I think the blueprint more against Detroit, and it's not this simple. We talked about this on a happy hour on Friday as well, but you've got to find a way to be the intimidator. You've got to find a way to be the aggressor. You've got to find a way to play with that mentality more often. Because when you do, it looks pretty freaking incredible and you look like a real pain to play. So learn from your mistakes and your losses against Carolina against Cleveland, your tie against Dallas. And I do think we are starting to see some of that, by the way. I do think we're, again, seeing the offensive line show signs of improvement. And more importantly, we're not seeing this team self-destruct over the last couple weeks against Minnesota and Detroit the way that they did against even the Giants, but certainly against the Bengals earlier in the season, at times against Dallas, etc. It's a better brand of football. They can continue to do that and even take it one step further. They're going to be in a great spot overall. But again, they're going to have to learn from their mistakes from their weeks 1 through 13 and learn from what they've done well as well. I don't want to see this team come off a game against Detroit where they looked fantastic and then regress back to Cleveland Browns or Carolina Panthers level play and all of a sudden crap the bed this week against Chicago. I want to see that same consistent intensity and level of play. Again, learn from your mistakes and learn from what you've done well over the first 13 weeks of the season. Number four is nothing that they can do on their own, unfortunately, but they really need to avoid any more catastrophic injuries. Already, you are down three very important players: Tucker Kraft, Devontae Wyatt, and Elgton Jenkins. That's not an easy trio to overcome. Now, I don't know if I want to say thankfully, but if we're being truthful, Elgton was not playing good football. That one stings a little bit less because he wasn't playing at the level that you would normally expect him to. But Tucker was playing like an all-pro, and Devontae Wyatt was playing some really good football. And both of those are near impossible to replace, at least in season, right? So I think they can survive those, but they are now at a razor-thin margin of any other major injuries, and you're getting too far down for what you need your talent level to be at when you're going against the best of the best. So they're going to have to avoid those. Hopefully no more season-ending injuries, and they, again, have to avoid the real important ones. Guys like Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, Xavier McKinney, Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, you know the names, Josh Jacobs, etc. Like they just can't afford those type of players to go down. They've got to find a way to stay healthy, and any bad injury luck could really derail this team more than it already has with three, at least two very significant injuries that they've had already. Number five, got to develop a plan to replace Devontae Wyatt. I don't think this needs to be anything crazy. Warren Brinson's going to have to step up. Carl Brooks is going to have to step up. And Colby Wooden, who's already stepped up pretty big in the absence of Kenny Clark in the trade for Micah Parsons, is going to have to step up even more. To a lesser extent, Nasir Stackhouse. And then how do you go about replacing that spot on the roster? Are you signing somebody from another practice squad, bringing in some sort of veteran? How are you going to replace that? James Esther off the practice squad, maybe. I've already said, you know, Evan Anderson from the 49ers practice squad, I think makes a lot of sense. But they're going to have a plan in place. I think that plan in place is also going to need to, at some point, include LVN as that interior rusher, almost in that three technique spot in obvious passing downs. I think that could help you quite a bit in that spot as well. And quite frankly, this last game, they played really well against Detroit with Devontae Wyatt in there, but they didn't have Carl Brooks and LVN. And I feel like on the total, you can come closer to trying to replace Devontae Wyatt with those two are in full health and playing good football, especially with what I think LVN can do in some obvious passing downs. So it's not perfect. It's not ideal. It's not what you want, but they're going to have a plan in place. And again, I think Brooks, Brinson, and LVN are going to have to be the three big players to step up in his absence. Number six, I have no faith will actually happen, and maybe they can get through without this being a thing. I still really want them to find a punt returner. I really, really want them to find a punt returner. It just is, it adds a dynamic element to your game. In previous episodes, I've gone over some players that I think could make sense. Amir Smith-Marset from the New York Giants could be somebody who has a lot of return experience that could maybe give you that spark. There's players out there. You've got a logjam at wide receiver. Jaden Reed's coming back. Matthew Golden's coming back. Now Christian Watson's obviously been playing fantastic. Wicks is coming off a huge game. You have a logjam at receiver already. It's going to be tough to add somebody there. Man, it would be nice. It would be really, really nice if you had somebody that you could trust as a punt returner to get you some additional yardage. I don't see it happening. Maybe Jaden Reed comes back and does it and looks great. Maybe Golden gets another opportunity and looks great. I don't know. But if they could somehow figure out something as a true legitimate punt return option that actually has some threat to their game, it would be a huge, net positive for that special teams unit. Right now, they don't have it. It's the worst punt return team in the NFL, and they've got to find a way to mitigate it, if nothing else. I know we're all just happy right now with Romeo Doubs catching the punt and not muffing it or having a catastrophic turnover, but I would really prefer that you actually added somebody that had some juice as a returner. Right now, they don't, and it definitely costs them in the field position battle. Number seven is something that a lot of people have been calling for, and I think there still is nuance to this overall conversation that I think sometimes is lost in translation, but there is zero doubt whatsoever that Green Bay needs more from Rashawn Gary. This is a player that we've seen play some really good football in Green Bay, who has had some big time seasons with sacks and pressures. And right now, you're just not getting that level of play from him. And why I say there's nuance is Rashawn Gary is still playing good football. It's good, solid winning football, and he's helping this team. He's a net positive overall, but nowhere near to the level that Green Bay needs him at. This is supposed to be a bash brother with Micah Simmons and Rashawn Gary sort of thing going on. And instead, it's just Micah kind of doing all the heavy lifting. And Rashawn, even with a lot of one-on-ones and opportunities to get to the quarterback, is not really taking advantage of those. We need to see a little bit more. It's hard to imagine a world in which Green Bay gets through and makes a serious playoff run with just Micah Parsons being the pass rusher. And now Devontae Wyatt's out. I mean, Enigbari and LVN can help, and maybe Brooks or Brinson can get a pressure from time to time. But to really take some pressure off of, no pun intended, of some of those other players and make it so that Micah doesn't have to do everything, the player that Green Bay really, really needs is Rashawn Gary. And if he can start playing at a much higher level, start converting speed to power, getting to the quarterback and causing havoc, there's your blueprint for success on defense. It cures so much. It makes your entire defense better. That's a huge one for me. Just need more from a player that you're paying a lot of money to, that you've invested a lot into, and that you're now giving an opportunity as a number two edge rusher opposite this, at worst, the second best edge rusher in all of football. Got to have more from Rashawn Gary. Number eight, Brandon McManus is going to need to settle in. Good sign last week that he made all of his kicks. That's good. Needs to not kick it into the end zone so that it's brought out to the 35. That needs to be better. But overall, pleased, I guess, with at least the field goal and extra point making, at least in the dome conditions in Detroit. But for the rest of the season, he needs to settle in and be the kicker that you expected when you gave him that extension in the offseason. Every one of these games is just one play here or there. And any missed extra point or missed field goal is just really difficult to overcome. So McManus has got to find a way to settle in and just get to a level of comfortability from now through the end of the season. Number nine, Xavier McKinney and Edgerrin Cooper need to return to their playmaking ways. Now, Xavier McKinney and Edgerrin Cooper are both playing really, really good football. I love the way that they're playing. They're playing with a really strong IQ. They're rallying to the football. They're doing everything that you could ask of them. But this defense can't just be good, solid, sound defense. They have to be playmaking. They have to be opportunistic, and they have to generate turnovers. And last year, it felt like twice a game, Xavier McKinney and Edgerrin Cooper were making these big time plays that were either resulting in turnovers or close to being turnovers or just big, important plays for this defense. They were playmakers. They were legitimate big time playmakers. We haven't seen that same level of playmaking in large part because teams won't throw at Xavier McKinney, but just in general, those two have got to find a way to impact the game more than they already are, where they are impacting it in a huge way. But from a playmaking standpoint, interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, sacks, whatever it might be, I don't care, but got to find a way to get those two to be playmakers again for your defense. They have the ability, got to put them in positions to succeed. I think they are, but maybe it's just turnover luck. I don't know what it is, but need to see a few more big plays from both X and Coop. We'll be right back. not sure about you guys, but it's a season for hosting a lot of holiday dinners, get-togethers, and big events, and all of that planning, cooking, and shopping can take a huge extra toll on my stress levels when there's already so much going on. That's why I leave the stress behind and rely on Omaha Steaks to help me prepare amazing meals for all of my family and friends this holiday season. And not to spoil some gifts for family members who may be listening, but I've definitely been picking up some Omaha Steaks as gifts, which makes holiday shopping super simple as well. The best part is that you can benefit with their Sizzle All The Way sale, which you can get 50% off. Yes, 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. I'm actually hosting a birthday get-together this week, and the freezer is stocked with amazing steaks and burgers from Omaha, which is making things super simple to prepare and plan for. And if you haven't tried the food yet, it's beyond incredible. I can't recommend it enough. I especially want to shout out their grass-fed, grain-finished beef that has more marbling for exceptional flavor. Now, Omaha Steaks is a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So don't miss out on this deal and save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com with code PACKADAY. All right, so it's 2025, and we're all pretty up to date on the insane amount of scam emails and texts that we're getting at this point. But if I can be real for a moment, I recently got an email. I won't go into detail on the company or what it was, but this thing was so insanely real. I still had doubts, double-checked the sender, the link, everything about it looked authentic, but it wasn't. Thankfully, my browser saved me in that situation, but even when we're on high alert, just one small mistake could be the difference in getting scammed financially. Here's the thing. Scammers know the holidays are the busiest time for everyone, which can make us all targets for scams. That's why Cash App builds in protection to help keep your money safe while you're checking off your shopping list. If you're about to send money to someone for a deal that's too good to be true, and Cash App flags it as a potential scam, they'll warn you before you send the money. Cash App also gives you an extra layer of protection with features like Security Lock. You can require a PIN, Face ID, or fingerprint to unlock your account and move money, so even if someone gets a hold of your unlocked phone at a holiday party, your money is right where you left it. So gift yourself some peace of mind this holiday season and download Cash App. For a limited time only, new Cash App customers can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. For real, just download Cash App, use our exclusive referral code SECURE10 in your profile, send $5 to a friend within 14 days, and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account. Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. Last but not least, number 10. This team will go as Micah Parsons and Jordan Love go. Those two are the entire engine of this team. You gave Love the huge franchise quarterback deal. You gave Parsons the huge franchise defensive end, pass rusher, disruptor deal, right? On Thanksgiving against Detroit, we saw exactly, hey, some things didn't always go perfect, but Jordan Love carried the offense. Micah Parsons carried the defense. If Love plays like that, if Parsons plays like he did, you've got a chance to beat anybody in this league. Period, end of story. So if those two continue to play like they did on Thanksgiving throughout the rest of the season and into the playoffs, good luck to other teams. And the onus is on your big-time players when you get into those big-time games. So for me, Jordan and Micah are not only going to have to continue to play the way that they have, but even up at a notch and be at the very top of their game when this Packers team, this franchise, this fan base needs the most. They need to come up clutch. They've been clutch all season long. You've already got Jeff Hafley calling Micah Parsons the closer. I love that. Keep that up. Keep that up, and you're going to have a real, real strong chance at this thing. I have a bonus one as well. It's cheap. It's not fair. I didn't want to include it in the main list, but you just need a little bit of luck too. It's nothing you can do. Ball needs to bounce your way. You have to get a lucky call here or there, maybe like a timeout when there's a false start, something like that. Got to have a little bit of luck too sometimes. It's not the worst thing to have. You can't coach it. You can't ask for it. You could probably pay for it, unfortunately. I kid. But at the end of the day, you have to have a little bit of luck too. And hopefully Green Bay finds that this postseason and leading up to the postseason. Not there yet, right? But hopefully they get there and hopefully they can have a little bit of... They're due for some postseason luck. My 10 keys, my 10 things on my blueprint for a Packers Super Bowl run. Win the NFC North. improve that offensive line, continue to grow day in and day out, have them gelling and being at their best come playoff time. Take the lessons and learn your lessons from weeks 1 through 13. Avoid those catastrophic injuries. Figure out a plan to replace Devontae Wyatt, probably Brinson Brooks and LVN once he's healthy. Find a punt returner would be really, really nice. A resurgence from Rashawn Gary. Brandon McManus, easy for me to say, settles in to that kicking position again, starts drilling his kicks week after week. X and Coop become the playmaking players that they were a season ago, and Love and Parsons do their thing and carry this team into the Super Bowl and beyond. That's the blueprint. Let me know if there's anything I missed, anything that you would like to see added to that list. I'm sure there's probably a couple other things that they could do better as well, but if they do those things, I would feel very, very good about a potential run towards a Super Bowl opportunity and maybe even a Super Bowl win. That's all I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to give one extra huge shout out. On Friday, on Apple Podcasts, on their top sports podcast charts, we came in at number 31. That's the highest that I have ever seen us be at in the top 200 chart. This is all sports podcasts nationwide. Not only were we the number one Packers podcast, not only were we the 31st ranked sports podcast nationwide, we were the number one team-oriented sports podcast in the entire nation. Think of all the baseball teams, hockey teams, soccer teams, NFL teams, basketball teams, and any team, WNBA, et cetera, college basketball, college football, any team, Auburn, Alabama, Notre Dame, any of them, you name it. We were the number one individual team sports podcast nationwide. That's pretty freaking incredible. Thank you guys so much for making that happen. You're the absolute best. I cannot thank you enough for making this channel what it's become. I looked that up and I saw it and I did like a double take. I mean, we're with the Mina Kimes of the world, the First Takes of the world, we're ahead of a lot of those big time podcasts. The Zach Lowe Show is right there, like top 31 in the nation for sports podcasts, number one of all teams podcasts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can't say it enough. You're the absolute best. Hope you enjoy this Saturday. Hope you enjoy this weekend, knowing that we've already got a Packers win. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winklesinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John Dimitropoulos, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gons USA, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, and Benjamin Sargent. I'll see you guys all very, very soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.